You've probably heard this before. Here is the church, and here is the steeple. Open up the doors and see all the people. It's a cute little rhyme, isn't it? I grew up with it in Sunday school. I think probably if you asked the average person on the street, that is what they would think of when they thought of the church. But the Bible, whenever it talks about the church, doesn't ever talk about a building or a steeple or pews even. Let me just do a tweak on that rhyme. This is how the Bible would do it. Here is the church. The church is the people. The church is the community of people who have experienced God's saving grace. And we are united together. Now, of course, that does kind of raise a question. Well, which of the people? Is every person who sits in a church automatically a part of the church? If your name is on a membership list somewhere and yet you never come, does that make you a part of the church? What exactly is the church? How do you belong to it? And what does it mean if you do? The final statement of faith that we are going to look at today addresses those questions. What is the church? What do we believe about the church as people here at Langford? So let's look at them. Let's look at it. Number 7 on the list. I think you've probably got it in front of you there in the handout of what we believe. So let's read that together. Statement number 7. We believe in the spiritual unity of all who truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the only holy universal church, which is the body of Christ. In my mind, that breaks down into 3 points. 1, we believe in the spiritual unity of believers. 2, we believe in the Holy Universal Church. And 3, we believe that the church is Jesus' body. So let's take on those 3 points here this morning and think about what they mean for us. So first, we believe in the spiritual unity of all who truly believe. Okay, pop quiz time for you here. What do you have in common with St. Augustine, Martin Luther, Billy Graham, Mother Teresa? What do you have in common with all of them? You may not be a great church leader, but you belong with them in the body of Christ. You are united to them closer than a brother and a sister. To pick up the language of sin and grace from statements 5 and 6 there, when we turn from sin, when we receive the grace of Jesus to trust in Him, we are united with all other believers who have existed in any other time and every other place. God pulls us out of our individualistic lives and puts us into this new community of faith. He doesn't just drop us off there and say, okay, now go make some new friends. He actually unites us with them. J.C. Ryle puts it like this: we are all born of the Spirit. We all, you, Mother Teresa, Billy Graham, St. Augustine, we possess repentance towards God, faith towards Jesus, holiness in life. We all hate sin. We all love Jesus. We worship differently and in different ways, but we all worship with one heart. We are led by one Spirit. We are built on one foundation. We are led by one holy book, which is the Bible. We are joined to one great center, Jesus Christ. As believers, then, we are united with every other believer who has ever lived. Just think about that. From the Apostle Paul and Peter, through the church fathers, through the reformers, through your family members who have gone ahead of you, some of them already passed on, who walked faithfully with Jesus, you have a deep, deep connection with them that goes beyond blood, that goes beyond time itself. We belong to this centuries-old community of faith. We're not just making things up here at Langford, right? We stand in a thousand-generation game of pass it along. John talks about that, Jesus talks about that rather in John 17, right? He starts praying for the people that are there in the room with him in John 17, and then he says, my prayer is not just for them alone, i.e. the believers that he is looking at in that moment. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. That's us. Jesus is praying for each of us in that moment. And he prays that we, all of them, may be one. Just as you are in me and I am in you, Jesus says to the Father, may they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. You know, I really used to think that Christianity was a lone wolf sort of thing, right? Like just me and God. I don't need those other weirdos. I can walk with God without a church. But Jesus' intention is not that we do it alone. Jesus' intention is that we would work together, that we would support one another, that we would be iron sharpening iron within the community of people who have believed in Jesus. Now, let's talk about the truly believed part, because that is an important detail, right? We believe in the spiritual unity of all who truly believe. To be a part of the spiritual unity of believers, then you need to truly believe in the Son of God. Let's be honest. We know that there are people who go to churches who have zero interest in being there. We know that there are people who go and think of church simply as a social club where they can go and see their friends, and who cares about the spiritual part of it? We all know that there are people who say that they are Christian who would never darken the door of a church. Right? Their name may even be on the membership list of that church. But unless they truly believe, that is in their mind and heart, they've made a commitment to God, and in the way that they live it out, unless that's there, they don't belong to the Big C church. Only people whose hearts have been softened by the Holy Spirit to turn from sin, to trust in God, belong to the church. Right? Jesus talks about this in Matthew 7. Sobering passage, Matthew 7, 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, Jesus says, I never knew you. Get away from me, evildoers. Paul talks about people who claim to know God, but by their actions deny him and have a form of godliness, but deny its power. That's a hard truth, but it is one that we need to recognize. Only those people who truly believe in Jesus belong to the church. It's not this case of, like, there's good people, and then there's fine people, and then there's evil people. It's sinners and saved, the saved and the lost. The saved belong to the church. The lost don't. Again, J.C. Ryle says, do you believe they belong to the one true church, to the church outside of which there is no salvation? I do not ask you where you go on Sunday. I only ask, do you belong to the one true church? If you've turned from sin and trusted in God, then you belong to the one true church. You belong to the Big C church. You are united with faith, in faith with every other believer who has ever lived, and you will experience eternity with every other believer who has ever lived. So, the church, the one true church, is the spiritual union of all who truly believe. That's what our statement of faith says next. We believe in the spiritual unity of all who truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the only holy universal church. Which is to say that we believe that those who are truly believers are united spiritually as one holy universal church. Each of those words is important. We believe that there is one church. As J.C. Ryle said, there is one church. Outside of it, there is no salvation. We are not a all roads lead to God kind of church. John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Based on that, we understand that there is one church. There is only one community of faith where we will experience salvation. But we need to nuance that a little bit. Because, you know, we might think, okay, there's Protestant church, there's the Catholic church, there's the Orthodox church, there's the Russian Orthodox church. Then there's all these denominations within it. Which one of them is the whole, is the one true church? It's sort of a visible, invisible situation, right? The one church is all of those people who have believed, and they are scattered within all the little c churches. Right? So just to give you a funny little illustration, I don't know if you saw me bring these up. I am not going to use them. To who? Thank you. I mean, you're welcome. Okay, so let's say this is the Big C Church. This is the group of people who have believed in every time and in every place. Peter belongs in here. Paul belongs in here. My grandma belongs in here. Right? This is Langford Church. This is all the people who have ever showed up and sat in a church on Sunday morning. Langford Church or any other church, little c church around the world. At any given Sunday, there are going to be people who come to a little c church who belong to the Big C Church. That's the people here. And there are other people outside of that church. They're all in their other churches during the day. There are also, though, some people who come and have no real interest in Jesus here. Ideally, we want to be a church like this, right? Where as many of our people are truly believing in Jesus and living it out in their life. And so we know that they belong to that one true church while taking part within our little country church here. We want as few as people as possible in this line because we want everyone to experience the fullness of community and salvation, life, and forgiveness in Jesus in the church. So there is one Big C church of which there are many little c churches. There is one church. There is one holy church. That word holy really just means set apart. Set apart for special purposes. Like how many of you have nice silverware at home? Give me a nod or, yeah, you've got nice silverware at home. Would you take it out and use it to like clean out the bottom of your lawnmower? No. Right? It's set apart for special purposes. Maybe you've got a nice dress or a nice suit that you wear to weddings and things. Would you wear it out to the barn? No. It's set apart for special purposes, right? That's the church. When we say that the church is holy, it is set apart by Jesus to accomplish his special purposes in the world. It's meant to be different from the everyday world that we live in and to be a community of people who are unique. Not so unique, not so heavenly minded that we're of no earthly good. You know, it's often said the church is not it should not be a museum for saints, but a hospital for sinners, right? We want to be the kind of church that is set upon a foundation of holiness, but still willing to engage with the world in a meaningful way. That's essentially what holiness is. Peter puts it like this in 1 Peter 2:9. Y'all, right? Second person plural. Y'all are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation, a people belonging to God with this purpose that you might declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Our job as a church is to be a set apart group, kind of like a base camp from which Jesus' holiness makes its way out into the world. So we believe that there is one holy church. It is a universal church. That is not to say that every person who comes into a church is a member of it, but it means it's universal in the sense that it's made up of all time, all believers in all times and all places. Wherever they lived, wherever they come from, whatever language they spoke, when they were a part of the church, we are the church together. We believe in the one holy universal church. That word church, ecclesia is the word, literally means called out ones. So when supper's ready at our house, I'll say, okay, supper's ready, put down your book or your iPad or your whatever it is that you're doing at that moment. Leave it behind and come now to the table. The people who show up at the table, who have left behind whatever it is that they are doing, are the called out ones. They are the ecclesia. They are the group of people who have come together for that purpose in that moment. That's the church. We are called out of the world to be the pure, spotless, blameless family of God together, as a group. So, we believe in the spiritual unity of all who truly believe in the Lord Jesus, which is the only holy universal church. But here's the thing, the only holy universal church is not just an organization, it is an organism. It's a body. It's not just a body, it is Jesus' body. We are his body. That comes straight from the Bible, right? Romans 12, 4-5 says, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ Jesus, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to the other. As a church, then, we are together and individually the tangible representation of Jesus in the world. We are the body of Christ that people see in the world. And as a body, we have his job to do, right? God has equipped each of us as a church and as individuals with spiritual gifts and abilities that will allow us to work through, that will allow him to work through us to be a blessing to the world. You know, Teresa of Avila famously wrote, Christ has no body but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which he looks compassionately on his world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, the feet, the eyes. You are his body. Christ has no body now but yours. No feet, no hands, but yours. We are the body of Christ. We have a job to do. So, we believe in the spiritual unity of all who truly believe. That is the one holy universal church. That is the body of Christ. Okay, there's all the pieces. From time to time, I've used the language of ABCs to describe this, right? This is the statement of faith is our ABCs of faith. We can actually summarize this statement with that ABCs thing. So, we believe that A, all who truly believe are united spiritually as B, the body of Christ, which is the C, church. All who believe belong to the body of Christ, which is the church. Let me just apply each of those under those headings. We believe that all who are believers are united spiritually. If you have made a decision to follow Jesus and you are living in light of that decision, then you are united not just with him, but with every other believer who has ever lived. You have a connection that goes deeper than class or race or blood or profession. I've actually been hiding a neat little example of that underneath of your nose this whole time. If you look at the handout for the statement of faith, there's a picture there of what looks like stained glass. It's a stained glass image of what we believe. That didn't just come out of nowhere. I was looking around online for some image that I could use, and I don't like to use stuff I find online without permission, unless it's in Creative Commons. So anyways, I emailed the church that originally used this, because the church used this for their study on the Apostles' Creed, and this led to this really neat exchange with them, where the person who drew that actually emailed it to me in like 5 different formats so that I could change it and use it however I wanted. The pastor emailed me and said, I read your website. I love that you guys are following Jesus. And he's like, we prayed for you as a church. They're down in the States, but we had this connection together that went beyond just like, oh, you belong to this denomination and we belong to this denomination. We were united with them spiritually. The believers in Kenya that we sent Bibles to, different continent, same Big C body church, right? Big C church. And that is reflected in our image. There is a lot of imagery tucked in there. You can see each of the windows has some neat details tucked in. But you see around the bottom of the Holy Spirit one, the dove, there's a bread and cup with people in between there. Do you see that? So there is a unity of the church in communion. The bread and cup tucked around the bottom of that. It's people with the circle heads and the sort of chalice shape. This is why it's important, if you belong to the church, to come to church, to make church a priority. We build each other up as believers. We come and strengthen each other. And if you leave church saying, I don't feel like anybody built me up, if you leave feeling like that, I would say to you very gently, what did you do to build somebody up today? Have you invested in your faith enough throughout the week that you are able to build into somebody on a Sunday morning? We have that iron sharpening iron function to serve each other with. So we believe that all who believe are spiritually united. We believe that we are spiritually united as the body of Christ. We're not just some little church on the road between Brantford and Ancaster. Right? We are not just a social organization that does good deeds. We are a part of the literal physical body of Christ here on earth. And if you've never thought about this before, if you've never really thought of yourself as a member of the one true church, the body of Jesus, Jesus is inviting you in the most personal way possible to participate in himself, to be a part of his body, to have a value and purpose that goes bigger than you alone as a person. And if you do belong to the one holy true church, then when you believe, the Holy Spirit has given you power and ability and gifts that enables you to accomplish the specific things that God has put before you. In 1 Corinthians, Paul says that God has put the church together exactly the way it should be. God put my body together exactly the way it should be, with ears here and various organs and things in here. He has put us together as the church so that each one of us have a vital part to fulfill. Not each of us is an ear, not each of us is a finger, but each of us has a different role to play. Think about the gifts that you have, the things that you love to do. Those are gifts that God has given to you to bless this church. And I would really encourage each of us to have a part that we know that we are playing. If you are not sure where you can pitch in, ask me. We'll help you to find that spot. So A, we believe that all who believe are the B, body of Christ, which is the C, church. This, I think, is really important for us as a little rural church. Because as a little, well, I mean, any church risks this, but I think it would be really easy for a church like ours to focus on the Langford community part of our name and just be a social club out here on the highway. But as people who truly believe in the redeeming grace of Jesus, we are not just a social club. We are Jesus' body, called out of the world to be different from it. We need to be consciously thinking, how is what we're doing uniquely contributing to our identity as Langford Community Church? What are simple little things even that we can add to what we do already to make it clear that what we're doing is because we follow Jesus? You know, some churches have dialed back their identity as a church in order to be more appealing to the world around them. Those are the churches that are closing. We need to lean into our spiritual identity to be different from the world, to offer the escape and hope that we need from the pressures and sins that people are living with every day in the world. How do we do that? I really think the health of the church depends on the health of all of our hearts, not just mine. If you're depending on my heart to carry the spiritual health of this church, you're in trouble. However, when we each nurture our own spiritual vitality, when we each listen to God in prayer, when we each apply that and do what he is calling us to in the community of believers, this is when we really thrive. This is why reading the Bible for yourself is so important, because in doing that, God shapes us and makes us each more like him, more like the part of the body he has made us to be. That's how we be Langford Community Church together. We actively pursue God together. So, A, all who truly believe are the B, body of Christ, which is the C, church. Now, to cap this series and this sermon, I thought it would be appropriate for us to celebrate the Lord's Supper together, because the Lord's Supper is the symbolic act that Jesus himself gave to the church to commemorate the sacrifice that made the church. And to recognize the fact that we're not reinventing the wheel here, I thought we'd do something a little different. Originally, I thought that I might go all the way back to like the 100s for a communion service. But my mom got her hands on an old United Church service book. And so what we're going to do is go through the communion service from the 1960s United Church. Some of you have said these words before, but I think it's helpful for us to recognize that we're not reinventing the wheel. We are part of a long tradition of believers who have said, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Savior. He died for me. And as we say that together, we are the church together. Now, just in practical terms, I thought I was being really clever when I set this up, to use this as a folder. So don't start here, otherwise you're going to be confused. Here's what you'll need to do. Here's this, open it to the middle. This is page one. Flip it over. That's page two. And then you've got page three. I thought I was being really clever. Just think, the whole time, it's going to be a really nice folder for us to look at. Let's pray together. We're not just messing around here, Jesus. This is your body. You laid down your life. You shed your blood. You let evil people shove nails into your hands and a spear into your side and thorns onto your head and whipped you till you almost passed out to forgive us, to unite us, to make us one with each other and with the God of all creation. In light of that, Jesus, as we approach your table, we acknowledge that this is a huge act, As we receive the body and blood of Jesus, we remind ourselves that we are one in him. So Lord, if we have not already turned from sin to trust in you, make this the moment. If you're not there yet, that's fine. Pass it by. But if you are a member of the church, a member of the Big C Church, as you take the bread and cup in your hands, realize this is the symbol of Jesus forgiving you and making you a part of something bigger than you, something better than you could ever imagine. Thank you for uniting us, Lord, and help us to truly be Langford Community Church.